Let me bring in our hypnotist, Marshall Silver.
It's Marshall Silver, ladies and gentlemen, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Hello there, and welcome to Marshall Silver Live. So glad to have you with me. It's a glorious day, and I'm in a state of sensation. As you know, yesterday I had both my knees treated with PRP is what it was. It's a form of stem cell. And two things I want to say. Number one, it was nowhere near the level of pain I had anticipated when I knew they're going to be injecting things into my kneecaps. So that part went great. Came home feeling great, thinking, yeah, I'm one of those people that, you know, just doesn't feel pain. And I went to bed, woke up at 3 a.m., and it was pretty intense. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it was an 8 and change for sure. And I just said, you know, they warned me. They said it was going to be like this, so get over it. Woke up this morning back 6.5, and I'm here for you. The point is, that's how much I love you. Now, I'm a bit of a wimp. I admit it. I'm not a fan of pain, but our guest today is a fan of pain. He's a fan of inflicting pain on the enemy. And we like that. We support that. We appreciate that. We're grateful for his service. Jeremiah Sullivan is a high-performance coach, public speaker, and the driving force behind the leadership training company Conquer Academy. On this episode of Marshall Silver Live, Jeremiah, who's an ex-Army Ranger officer renowned for his discipline, mental toughness, and leadership acumen, shares his proven strategies for overcoming excuses and achieving ambitious goals. Having guided CEOs, aviators, and leaders of billion-dollar companies to new heights of success, Jeremiah's insights on high performance, consistency, and mission planning are transformative. Join us today as Jeremiah discusses his methods for cultivating grit, developing leadership skills, and fostering a commitment to excellence. Whether on the battlefield, in the boardroom, or in personal pursuits like extreme long-distance running and MMA fighting, Jeremiah embodies the spirit of conquering both personal and business challenges. A nice big Marshall Silver welcome, Jeremiah Sullivan, to the show. Welcome.
Hey, Marshall. Hey, Marshall, thanks for having me, man. And it is a beautiful day. It's beautiful here in Florida, and it's sunny outside. I was just catching some sun. Hell of an introduction, and I'm excited to provide some value to your audience and help them on out.
Well, modest introduction of all the stuff that you've done, that is for sure. So great to have you on the show. I know we've been working at this for a while. I know you've been really busy, so I'm glad you finally were able to clear your calendar and get on the show with us. Tell us a little bit about your history. Tell us, you know, what your service experience. By the way, thank you for your service. I am very grateful for that. I really don't think that we come anywhere close to appreciating our service people that we should these days, especially. It's almost a badge of honor not to be respectful of people who have served us. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate that. I'm no war hero, you know, but I have served with several of them. And so I'm just a regular guy that came from a small town. And, you know, as you did the introduction there, I was kind of like sitting back and be like, man, we have accomplished quite a bit of things. And my military, I'll get into the military experience and some of my history that I had there. But my life started off, I was a scared, shy kid, you know, and well, I had a lot of fear. I didn't want to mess things up. I wanted to be perfect. And to be honest, I wanted to be successful, but I didn't know and didn't believe in myself to become successful. And since I grew up in a small town, I didn't really have a vision for how big my life could go or really, I had no idea how successful I could be. I had no context for the world because I was very sheltered. And so anyways, what I'm saying is that I'm very amazed, like just how things have unfolded in my life. I have stood in the room of leaders that were in charge of a $1 billion company and trained them. I've been featured in Forbes magazine. I'm an author of my podcast, and it's just been an incredible experience. I'm excited for how it continues to evolve and we continue to climb. But where do you want me to start? Just tell me, where do you want me to dive in with the military experience, and I can kick it off there.
Yeah, why don't we just start with the background and then why it led you to where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Northern California hunting bear with my dad. And we had a loving, supporting household, but my dad used to hunt to put food on the table. And I got into high school. I wrestled in high school. That helped me build up some confidence. I wanted to be an elite level wrestler, but that didn't play out for me. I wasn't good enough. So I kind of washed out and started drifting in life. I found myself without a job, and I couldn't even get a job at a two-star restaurant. And so I was basically just aimless in life, drifting. I ended up getting a job at a temp agency because they paid you weekly. So I started doing that. And basically my life just got to a point where I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I ended up enlisting into the military out of desperation. So I had a best friend and girlfriend that had gone off to the military when I was in high school. And I was like, I dodged the recruiter left and right in high school. I never wanted to serve when I was in high school, and I just didn't see it as for me. And so, I ended up, I guess, tapping, you know, ironically. Now I do MMA cage fighting, and, you know, I don't tap, but I tapped back then. And I said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to join the military. And so I came in the military actually as a enlisted soldier, which was basically everybody was in charge of me when I came in. Okay. And then when I left the military, I had 4 combat deployments underneath me. I had jumped over from enlisted soldier to infantry officer. I had served in special operations as a Ranger platoon leader. One of the highlights of my career was going out and doing high value target raids against enemy combatants. So basically sneak in, fly in at night, go in, capture or kill the guy, and come out with my team. And
the average badass stuff.
Yeah. So the stuff that you kind of see in movies, you know, and I mean, it was just crazy for me because I had gone from basically being like the water boy of a flag football team. That's kind of what I was when I came into the military, to being a key player, like either the quarterback of the NFL team that goes to the Super Bowl or the equivalent. Right. And it was a huge journey and personal transformation for me. So what ended up happening is I went through all this inner work. I worked on myself, and I landed that dream job in the 75th. And there I was until in one crazy night, one unfortunate night, where we walked in and there was this mission that went south. And so I had landed my dream job, a job that I had tried very, very hard to get, worked on myself to get, changed, worked through all my insecurities, my doubts, my fears, and changed myself to become. And here I am in this dream job, and I go in. We touch down, the birds touch down at about 8 o'clock at night, and we're going to go capture or kill this high value target. There was about 80 different members of special operations on the ground, and I was the officer responsible for the ground combat, for the ground fighting. I was the Ranger platoon leader of this special operations task force. My company commander was there. He was also the overall authority for the mission. And he would handle pretty much the external fight while I was going to handle the internal fight with my non-commissioned officers and task force. The mission was supposed to be smooth, and we ended up getting in there and it was everything but smooth. We got to the compound, and this building is built almost like a castle. I mean, it's huge. It has 20-foot courtyard walls. It has these giant silos in the corners of the compound, just like 4 of them tracing the perimeter. And as we get in there at night, it's closer to towards 10, 11 o'clock at night, and the front gate was locked. Well, the front gate was supposed to be open. So that was an indicator that something was already up. And as we get in there, we ended up going explosive on that front gate. We blew the door. The team went inside, and we're all talking on the radio that this doesn't feel right. Something's up, but we have to keep pushing. And we go explosive on the front courtyard wall. So now we have to use speed to basically get in the compound.
You basically announced your arrival.
Exactly. And so we have to move quickly. And so as we get in there, we set another explosive charge. And as the team is getting ready to breach that door, they pull themselves back and they get behind some cover and an explosion goes off. They thought, my team thought that that was the breach for the door that they were going to go clear, the inner compound that they were about to enter.
They thought it was their explosion.
Right. But it was an enemy combatant upstairs in a two-story compound throwing a grenade. So that grenade came out. They thought it was the breach. They started moving towards the door. Our explosive goes off. And as they start going into the compound, the enemy upstairs starts firing down on top of them, throwing more grenades on top of all of us. So this barricaded shooter upstairs, he started firing down, and then the entire compound started having additional fighters pop up and start firing at us. So we get into this giant gunfight, and you know, this job that I had in the special operations, it was an honor for that position, but it was my dream. You know, that dream, it turned into a nightmare that night. And the next thing you know, this gunfight goes on for several hours. We have multiple friendly casualties. One of my team leaders, he ended up losing an eye that night. We have a partner force that's with us, the Afghan Special Operations, the operators, and one of them gets shot in the chest. And so there's about maybe half a dozen, close to a dozen casualties on the ground that night. And not only that, but we're in a contested area. So we're inside of a village that has both friendly and enemy Afghan in the local area. Yeah, presence, exactly. Right. So they start waking up and we start taking periphery fire from around us. So now we're in a valley with the firefight going on in the compound we're trying to clear. We're outmatched. And this goes on for quite some time, and we ended up having to withdraw that night. On the way out, my helicopter almost took an RPG and went down. And the next day, all of my leaders had been injured that night, concussed or shrapnel, and they were all in the hospital being awarded Purple Hearts. And so I was standing there as the leader, and when I looked at them, I just felt like the biggest failure in the world. You know, it was my mission. It was my failure. So my dream kind of turned into a nightmare. And what ended up happening was I ended up leaving the organization just because that was a requirement for my job. I had to go on to military schools and advance my career. And I struggled that night for a long time. And I hit a low point. I had a gun to my head one night and I was completely drunk and I was about ready to end it all. And I didn't. Because I had made a promise to God that if he had helped me land that job, that I would pay the favor forward tenfold. And so in the moment where I was about to end it, I decided not to quit and to fulfill my promise. And I took all of my failures, all of my lessons, and I just made a commitment to better myself and become a better leader. I took all the pain, I just turned it into purpose. And that led me to finding a mentor who helped me with not just my career, but also my personal life. I started working with him. I started feeling whole again. I started accomplishing things outside of the military. I got into entrepreneurship. And then I started.
Let's chat about that. Let's chat about the kind of stuff you're doing these days that's, you know, a product of all that you went through. So sorry you went through all that. Sorry anybody goes through any of that, of course. Yeah. And just tell us what does that impact these days when you're working with businesses and one-on-one coaching?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing that I learned from that night, that was my last Ranger mission. And the thing that I learned that night was that I thought I was giving my best, you know, and leading up to that mission, I thought that I was giving my best every single day, but I realized that I wasn't. And so as I dissected why that mission went south, I realized that I just wasn't simply good enough, that if I had been better, that we would have achieved success that night. And so how it translates to business is that there's a bad day ahead for all of us. And I think that a lot of leaders are complacent in the fact that bad day is coming and they stop preparing. They stop working on themselves. They pick up bad habits and they start wearing themselves down little by little. They gain weight. They stop training. They get complacent. They stopped optimizing themselves. And so I made it my personal mission just after that night to go out, make an impact, make leaders better, and then teach them all the things that I learned about overcoming fear, doubt, and making fast decisions to help them accomplish their goals and their businesses and their lives.
So talk to me about some of the advice that you give. Talk to me about some of the people you coach and you serve, and any of the turnaround stories of what you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So personal and professional transformation. So one of the guys that I love talking about, I had this man reach out to me. He was the owner of the CEO of an eight-figure company, and he was 450 pounds. And he had this company that he was trying to grow, and he was trying to build a second one. He was going to start a franchise on top of it, but he couldn't look himself in the mirror. His confidence was absolutely gone, and he felt like an imposter at work. And it affects all of us, you know. He was a stud, right? He built multiple companies, eight figures,
exactly.
And then he lost his identity. He lost his happiness too. Not only that, but he came home one day, and I remember he told me this story. He said he walked in the house and he knew it was time for change when his daughter walked up to him, and his daughter jiggled him in the belly and made fun of his stomach and all the weight that he had gained. I said, "Daddy, daddy, what is this?" You know? And he said, just the placement of his daughter's hand on his belly caused a trigger inside of him and realized he needed to make a change. And so he was very, very stressed from growing the companies. He was disappointed at himself as a father, as a husband. Not only that was causing him not to show up at work. So while he wanted to grow these franchises, he wanted to expand his business, he kept finding himself withdrawing from and escaping from all of it. You know, so he would escape to like overeating, stress eating, and things like that. So anyways, he called me for high performance coaching, and I ended up doing some stuff with him in person and virtually. And so ended up where he's at now. He's down over, I believe, close to 200 pounds, 150 pounds. And when I showed up with him on the week one, he could barely walk, run a mile. And I taught him I basically got into his mind, and I had him reconnect with his purpose. I had him reconnect with his true identity and who he wanted to be next in life. And I reminded him of all the things that he had overcome. And then we went to work and we started training every single day, working on his discipline, his mindset, and basically put him through like an Army Ranger boot camp. So this guy went from having a hard time walking, running a mile, to after a couple of days of me working with him, he runs and completes 5 miles, most of which had rolling hills, at over 400 pounds, close to 450 pounds. That's amazing.
That's, you know, amazing.
And from there, you know, that little boot camp that I put him through, that led to him expanding his for multiple companies. I mean, he ended up taking his restaurants and expanding that into a food prepping business, and that blew up. And then he got into the insurance space, and that blew up. And now he's down 150, close to 200 pounds, I believe. And so I put him on this track, and now he's happy. I mean, he's jacked now. Like, you look at this guy I mean, he's got veins and everything. He's still working on his fitness. He's still improving. It's a long way to go when you're 400 plus pounds, right? But point being with that is the guy is happy. He's on track. He's not escaping work, you know?
Sure.
And so that's one of my favorite stories to talk about.
That's awesome. You yourself have had obviously lots of stuff come up. Very few people on the planet can understand what it must feel like to be in the middle of a firefight, to be surrounded, to see your peers and your, you know, compadres being injured or even dying right beside you. What do you suppose is the fastest way for somebody to go from that kind of tragedy to turning it around and saying, no, this wasn't a tragedy. This was a massive lesson. It was really good. And greater goodness will come out of this evil than the amount of evil. What do you suppose is the personality trait that makes somebody decide, no matter what's going on, no matter what hell they're dealing with, they can turn it into something that has great meaning?
Yeah. I mean, the only way to turn a bad situation around is to turn your pain into purpose. You have to sit with it. You have to sit with your pain. And I made that mistake for a long time. I tried to escape my pain. You know, I tried to avoid it. Every time I started thinking about that night, I mean, I was having nightmares for months. And I still had to show up and perform at work during all this as well. You know, I can't just say, hey, I quit the military, I'm going through something. So I was in and I mean, not only that, I was away from my wife at this period of time for about 2 years. So I was, the way that I got through this, okay, from the way I put the gun down, the bottle down, I started working on myself, is I eventually made a decision. And then when I started doing it, I started journaling every single day. That was the first thing that I did. I did two things: daily journaling and my daily action plan. So the daily journaling was a way for me to really start sitting with my pain and uncovering what had happened in my life, and then reframe it and find the lessons that I learned so I could improve. You know, that's the fastest way through a failure. If you fail at something, you sit in that pain for a really long time until you find the lesson. Once you get the lesson, then that's the level up, right? It's like, oh, okay, I learned this. Now I can go to the next level. So I just had to find the lesson. But if you never sit with the pain, you never find it, right? So I started journaling, and basically my steps for journaling is I open up the journal. I just consciously stream. I do it as early in the morning as possible, ideally 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock. I just, whatever thoughts are in my mind, they come out. And that's when you're the most vulnerable and honest with yourself, right? Like a lot of guys, a lot of us walk around with these, with body armor on. We protect ourselves and we're not vulnerable. And so we have this bravado about us, and our personality prevents us from being truly who we are, right? The mask that we wear. And so in the morning is when you're the most vulnerable, and that's a chance for you to really see what you've been going through in your life and let it out. So anyways, consciously stream, let it all out. And then from there, I find the lesson, and then I reframe the experience, turn it into something positive, rewire my brain so that I'm not just dealing with trauma. I can see a way out. And then I talk about where I'm going with my life, the vision. And that helped me get on track. And then the other thing I did was my daily action plan. So up until this point, I was really good at getting things done, but I wasn't really good at doing things I didn't want to do. And so I realized that in that same point in time that I needed to put the bottle down. I realized that alcohol was something that had never brought any good into my life.
And it actually, how long have you been sober?
February 15th, 2017 was my last drink.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. The best decision I ever made. One of the best decisions. My wife was the other one. But so what I started doing was writing down the things that I was avoiding, and drinking was one of the first ones. I would write down, hey, no drinking today. So my daily action plan is basically you create 4 goals for yourself, personal and professional, and then you create 5 tasks, daily action steps that you're going to take, all of which need to be things that you're resisting. So if you're new in business, right? It's like, what does a new person struggle with in business? It's sales. So you do your sales calls, write that down. If you're trying to get your fitness going, what's something that you don't want to do with your fitness? Stick to your meal plan, right? So you write that down. For myself, at this point in time, it was no drinking today. So I put that down. And little by little, I started confronting my resistance over and over again. And by doing that, my whole life started to change. I started feeling better about me. And I realized that success was subtractive. I realized that what I really needed to do was remove the things from my life, confront my resistance. And by doing so, it opened up space for me to live a much bigger life. I started doing more endurance events. I started experiencing the outdoors. I started getting deeper into entrepreneurship and business and really expanding myself. And the world just opened up to me by cutting away the stuff that was holding me down.
Where do you suppose you're going to go with your career? You're teaching, you're training, you're coaching. What's the end game for you now?
Oh, I don't think there's an end game for me, but I think that I want to be the best in my industry, you know? So my goal is to build the best leaders on the face of the planet. And the way I see us accomplishing that, I run events, I do online trainings. And so Conquer Academy will be a global brand. We'll basically blow up our events, we'll increase our online presence, and then we'll start getting into some technology, and we'll be able to access leaders in home a little bit easier through apps and stuff like that. But for right now, it's expanding our presence online. It's expanding our presence in events and being known and building a brand around building world-class leaders.
Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to let our audience know, or any place that they can go to get more information and find out more about you?
Yeah, I mean, my Instagram, just come to my Instagram, Jeremiah Solven, JeremiahSolven. I just started putting out some more stuff on YouTube. You guys can check that out. I've also got a podcast where I tell my stories and share leadership and high performance lessons. So you guys can check that out as well. But my Instagram is where I hang out the most.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you for your service. God bless. And I look forward to seeing you in person soon.
Hey, Marshall. Thank you, man.
Take care. Hey, I am Marshall Silver. I am healing, praise God. Today, my knees are getting better. We'll be back here tomorrow, 10 a.m., live with you. right here at Marshall Silver Live. Until we chat, make it an awesome day and live today as if it is your last. See you then.